Ladies and gentlemen, the sound you hear is a buzzsaw ripping through a painting of George Washington chopping down cherry trees. It's time for Professor Buzzkill, busting myths and taking names.
Great, great news, Buzzkillers. The United States Treasury announced on April 21st that Harriet Tubman, the historic fighter for the abolition of slavery and leader of the Underground Railroad, will replace Andrew Jackson on the front of the $20 bill. This, of course, is a huge victory for those of us who want to see a more representative range of American heroes on our currency. We did a show on this very topic in the fall of 2015, and I'm as proud as I can be that the Buzzkill Institute can take complete credit for convincing the U.S. government to make this change. You're welcome, America. Now, since our September episode, Institute researchers have been beavering away on the issue of currency reform. And I'm going to do something today that I don't normally do, especially given my role as a dispassionate historical analyst. I'm going to make further suggestions about images on American currency, and I fully expect the Treasury will take my wisdom into account as they already have. Along the way, I'm going to make some political arguments alongside the historical ones that I think you'll agree with. First, let me remind you of some of the background to these supposed controversies over who's depicted on American paper money. In doing so, I'm going to address the overreaction and the misuse of history implicit in the argument that U.S. currency, or any currency, is set in stone and should never be changed. It is, you guessed it, Buzzkillers, a myth. The designs of U.S. currency and the depictions on it have changed almost constantly in American history. The $20 bill has been around since 1862 and has undergone major changes, by my estimation, no fewer than 16 times. Here are some of the highlights and different people who have been on the 20 since 1862, in chronological order. Lady Liberty, an eagle, a depiction of the Battle of Lexington, Pocahontas, Alexander Hamilton, Stephen Decatur, who was a famous naval commander, James Garfield, Daniel Manning, who was Secretary of the Treasury in the 1880s, John Marshall, Supreme Court Chief Justice, Hugh McCulloch, another Secretary of the Treasury in the 1880s, good old George Washington, good old Grover Cleveland, Andrew Jackson, and of course next year, Harriet Tubman. And that's not the half of it, Buzzkillers. American currency is about as traditional and unchanging as a politician's principles. Each denomination, especially the paper bills, began life at different times, sometimes went totally out of circulation and then came back in, and has had its design changed dozens and dozens and dozens of times. The scientists at the Buzzkill Institute have calculated that if you include coins, American currency has changed on average every 4.27 of the 237 years of our country's existence. Pretty often, wouldn't you say? Of course, the Harriet Tubman change is a very important one, and I, for one, Buzzkillers, can't wait for more. Proposals to change the currency present a fantastic opportunity to discuss history. Frankly, to garner more attention for the show and for yours truly to cash in. Hence, I have some proposals to make before I pack my bags to appear before congressional hearings on the subject. Let me start by explaining what some other countries do with their currency. Buzzkillers, I admire Britain, the European Union, and Australia and New Zealand for the ways they have designed their currency after World War II. The euro banknotes are perhaps the most impressive because they depict ideals, although in very concrete forms. The European Central Bank describes them this way, quote, "On the front of euro banknotes, windows and doorways are shown. They symbolize the European spirit of openness and cooperation. The bridges on the back symbolize communication between the people of Europe and between Europe and the rest of the world. The windows, doorways, and bridges shown on the banknotes are stylized illustrations of basically different architectural styles across Europe, Buzzkillers, not images of or from actual constructions. Ideals, not specific people. Not only does this, generally speaking, avoid controversy, it reminds people to keep their eyes on the prize, greater European openness, cooperation, and peace. All of these are the main goals of the European Union. Now, as you know, Britain is not part of the euro, although it's part of the European Union. So their pound sterling notes represent British history and culture specifically. Now, British currency has always featured the monarch either in a portrait or by the royal crest or royal seal. Queen Elizabeth II, therefore, appears on the front of all British banknotes. Sometimes she's the central image, the biggish one. Sometimes she's in profile on the left or the right side of the note as a core, sort of a kind of a seal, if you will. So the British have that consistency on all their currency across the entire range. Because they always have the Queen, and because she's sometimes represented in a small profile on the side, the British have therefore given themselves room to celebrate other notable Britons from history. And they've included Turner, the famous artist, Elizabeth Fry, a very, very important 19th century prison reformer. Things were awful before she came around. And Charles Darwin, obviously the famous scientist and notable buzzkiller. Australians also use the Queen as their consistent image because she's their head of state as well. But they've gone even further. They normally use a smallish profile of the Queen off to one side of the front of their bills. And when it comes to the main image, they've placed lots of different illustrations on their dollar notes. These include Aboriginal peoples and Aboriginal art, Edith Cowan, the first woman elected to the Australian Parliament, Nellie Melba, the famous popular opera singer that we all know, A.B. Banjo Patterson, the poet and author of Waltzing Matilda, sort of an Australian Stephen Foster, if you will, and lots more. The Australians keep the consistency of the symbol of their head of state, but celebrate the diversity and accomplishments of all kinds of Australian people on the rest of the money. Now, buzzkillers, longtime buzzkillers, know my admiration for Australians and the Australian way of doing things is almost boundless. They're very, very highly educated people, and they're grown-ups. They treat all these things in a very adult and sensible way. New Zealanders do the same thing. New Zealand banknotes have the Queen on them, but they include depictions of Sir Aparuana Ngata, who is a prominent Maori statesman and cultural revivalist, Ernest Rutherford, famous scientist who's known as often as the father of the atom and a father of nuclear physics, and Kate Shepherd, a 19th century women's rights campaigner who helped drive New Zealand to become the first sovereign state to grant women the right to vote. Okay, Professor, I hear you out there. Enough of your nerdy coin collector havering about foreign currency. What do you propose about further American currency reform? Well, buzzkillers, it's a mixture of depicting important Americans from all walks of life, along with what I think of as the overarching American ideal, liberty. Specifically, the image I would make consistent across all of the currency is that of Lady Liberty. Frankly, who's been the most common person on our currency historically. She's just sort of been dropped in recent decades, unfortunately. Now, why choose an idealized person rather than a real person? Specifically because she's an ideal. The best of ideals. Liberty is freedom. Americans value freedom in many different ways. Freedom from oppressive government. Freedom from arbitrary laws and capricious implementation of existing laws. Right-wingers and libertarians want liberty from excessive taxation, excessive government interference. Left-wingers and social democrats want freedom from poverty and freedom from the abuses of runaway capitalism. Liberty covers the whole political and social spectrum. But, Professor, you say, that's not consistent if liberty can mean anything. No, liberty means freedom. There's the consistency. The application and the implementation of liberty to specific political and social needs is what we debate. And that's what I think is so important. It should be debatable. And the more we openly acknowledge that our ideals can be applied in so many different ways, the better off we'll be. The debates are good. Having Lady Liberty as that constant image, however, on our currency will help keep that ideal of liberty, however we apply it, in mind. We can put Lady Liberty as the central image on our paper currency, or we can have her as a slightly smaller image to the left or right of center like the British and Australians do with the monarch often. That would free up space to include other images on the front of currency. That brings me to the second part of my new proposal. Lots and lots and lots of other images to use on the currency. As we've already established, it's a myth that only presidents have been on the money. Eagles, running antelopes, depictions of battles and idealized images of anonymous Americans have always been on the currency. Let's keep that tradition going and broaden it. Buzzkill Institute researchers have determined that all depictions of different sorts of people and events would be popular and appropriate on the currency. Native Americans, for instance, should appear in great numbers. Chief Seattle is an obvious choice to add to the Native Americans who already grace our currency, like Sacagawea. Pathbreaking sports icons like Jackie Robinson, Wilma Rudolph, Billie Jean King are all good choices, as well as traditional white male sports legends such as Babe Ruth. Now, you're going to say, I propose that because I'm such a sports guy, but so be it. They're all great Americans. Musicians and composers such as Stephen Foster, the Gershwin Brothers, they should all be celebrated. Famous artists, famous astronauts, architects, educators, engineers, scientists, technological visionaries, and people from many different walks of life can and should be depicted on our money, buzzkillers. And, of course, the images of politicians and social leaders such as Martin Luther King, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, the Founding Fathers, and many, many, many others should be used. I could go on and on, buzzkillers, giving you specific examples after specific examples. But my main point is that having one consistent image, Lady Liberty, in some place on the currency, frees us up to celebrate lots of different aspects of American life on that same currency. The goal here should be more images of more important people, not less. More, more, more. Why do we limit ourselves to a relatively narrow range of worthies? We haven't done that in the past. It's only since World War II, really, that we sort of narrowed it down to presidents. Now, buzzkillers, I got to run. I'm behind on my packing for my trip to D.C. to testify before congressional committees on this very, very subject. Do you think they'll mind if I pass out Professor Buzzkill t-shirts? I don't know if I've got room in my suitcase, but anyway. In this episode, I've shown you how American it is for the currency to change all the time. And I've proposed a great way to honor our ideals and our heroes. If we implement the buzzkill proposals, our currency will truly reflect our enduring values, and it'll celebrate all the people who represent them best. It won't be tearing down history and tradition. It'll be an exciting innovation in keeping with the very best aspects of American dynamism. Help me get Lady Liberty and a wider range of people on our currency. Contact the Treasury Department and pester your representatives in Congress. I'm showing you the way, buzzkillers. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
This is Aunt Ginger from Professor Buzzkill, and you're listening to the Epicast Network.
Epicast.